A glance at the continuum. The COVID Zoom era gave Australian news viewers a peek into people's homes. The backdrop of choice was a First Nations acrylic painting. Megastar Beyoncé featured a painting by Yukulchi Napangari on her Instagram, which is a long way from Wilkinkara, where she eked out a living prior to her first contact experience in 1984. The art of First Nations people can be found in art galleries in Manhattan and on giftware in Bunnings or airport shops. The unique iconography of First Nations painting has evolved to become part of the visual identity of Australia. Painting is an affirmation for the artists. It is a political act confirming their rights to ancestral lands and creating a link to the world beyond their communities. It is also a therapeutic action where hours of meditative work in the zone assists in processing intergenerational trauma and the chronic and acute traumas so common in the lives of First Nations people. The evolution of painting is rooted in the ancient art practices that remain to this day. It happened slowly, with fledgling projects dotted around the desert, often with material support from someone who had come to the community from afar. The watercolour paintings by Albert Namatjira in the mid-20th century are echoed in the work of Daisy Napeljarry. She developed a similar representational response to paint her country on a large scale and using acrylic paint. Daisy was instrumental in establishing Ikunji Artists. She and her sister, Esther, co-opted me to move to Hutt's Bluff August 1992. At the request of the community, my partner Wayne Eager and I set up the art centre now known as Ikunji Artists. Papunya Chula has been operating for over 50 years and has been at the forefront of the First Nations acrylic painting movement. The Western Desert people were impacted by a government assimilation policy that corralled them into a settlement camp at Papunya in the 1960s. Thanks to some friendly interactions, most notably with Jeffrey Barden, the men found inventive ways of reiterating their tukupa, initially on scraps of lino or masonite and using whatever paint they could find. The art practice evolved into the painting movement that we are familiar with today, which encompasses most First Nations communities. The Papunya Chula works done in the 1970s share some of the iconography used in the ancient art practices of the Western Desert people, which is why long-time Japananga was reluctant to start painting. He felt it was too dangerous. He had witnessed the pushback from the Pijindara when some of the early paintings on board from Papunya were too explicit for the general public. His two wives, Marley Naparula and Mitchley Naparula, started painting in 1993 at Hutt's Bluff. He watched them and drew stories in the sand. I first saw the trio from our lounge room window at Hutt's Bluff. He had silver-white hair and a Buffalo Bill moustache, cowboy hat and boots all in black. He was followed in line by Mitchell and Marley, and lastly Marley's second husband, Brian A. Burke, a sun-dried bushy carrying a box of groceries. Eventually, Long Tom took up the offer of paint and canvas from Wayne Eager. He was a natural painter and raconteur and imbued his work with lyrical narrative features relating to his tukupa through steering clear of any traditional iconography. He pushed his work into minimalist abstraction at times, cadmium red on red oxide, using vast expanses of painterly surfaces to represent his country. At the National Gallery of Victoria, not long after the purchase of his Ayers Rock and Tarawarra 1994, he saw Mark Rothko's Untitled Red 1956. He identified a brother of the brush by planting his flat palm on the canvas as a mark of respect and said, "I know this one," a metaphor of respect which caused a flurry with the security guards. Mitchell's mother, Chunkai Napeljarry, lived at Kintore and was part of a group of older women whom I referred to as the dancing women. Overlooked by Papunya Chula, these women asked me to provide them with materials to paint. The family connections between Kintore and Hutt's Bluff were strong, and Napota Nangala and Eunice Napananga were very happy to share resources. In 1994, we held a painting camp just outside Kintore, where many women were painting their own works for the first time. including McKinty Napanunga. We then had another camp at Hart's Bluff in 1995. The resulting large works are now in major collections after being exhibited at Tandanya National Aboriginal Cultural Institute in South Australia. In 1996, Papunya Chula started working with these Kintore women and women from Kirikura. Their work went from tentative early steps to an explosion of imaginative, expressive odes to their country.